Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. www.facebook.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, 22nd of July. We're coming to you live and talk a little bit about doctrine and practice. The conventional wisdom of the church today says that the two can be isolated from one another. What a person believes and teaches and confesses can remain isolated from how they worship, what kind of practices they engage in the church. And yet, in our everyday lives, the two are seldom isolated from one another. What you believe affects what you do. Does what you do affect what you believe, especially in the church? Our call in number 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Joining us to talk about doctrine and practice, their relationship to one another, and the changes that have come for both, Pastor Daniel Skillman. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fair Harbor, Ohio, Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Madison, Ohio, and he's author of an article titled Changes in Doctrine and Worship, A Call to Resistance. Pastor Skillman, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Can you do what so many in the church say they can do and are doing, and that is change the way a church worships without changing what the Christians therein believe?
No, I don't believe that you can, but let me qualify that. I'm not saying that what you do on any particular or given Sunday necessarily will change what you believe or reflects a change. But it's rather what you do habitually that reflects that change in doctrine. So this isn't a matter of nitpicking about what particular order of service you might use on a given Sunday, but rather who you are as a characteristic.
Give us an example of a change, perhaps even an innocent, unwitting change, in the manner of worship, the mode of worship, that has, over time, brought about a real change in doctrine and teaching?
Well, to take what I think is, in the strictest sense of the word, a very obvious example, would be the placement of musical instruments right there in the nave and perhaps even in the sanctuary itself. That's something that everybody can see very quickly. For example, if you have, say, a drum kit or a piano or a series of guitars lined up in the front of the church, perhaps even physically blocking the line of sight to the altar. I just wonder if, you know, if people understand what that means in the bigger picture. Now, maybe on any given Sunday you could say that there was a reason for doing that, and that it doesn't really change what you deep down believe. But if that's a habitual practice, and the drum kit and the guitar and the piano or even the organ is sitting right there front and center every Sunday, I think there does come a point where you start to consider that as the main thing.
So in other words, it that simple change can, in essence, over time, change for that congregation, what they think worship is?
Yeah, I believe it can. And I do believe that many times that's unwittingly done. And that is just one example, but one that I think is common and easily grasped.
Perhaps we should provide a little definition here, because many, when they hear the word doctrine, either have kind of a negative notion of what it might mean. Doctrine is something kind of stodgy and purely intellectual. How does Scripture define doctrine, Pastor?
Well, I think of it just as the teaching of Jesus, the talk of Jesus, the content of what Jesus has done for us. When I hear the word doctrine, I think of the cross and the resurrection and what that means for my life and the life of those who hear the preaching of the church. So for me, and I believe for Scripture, doctrine is not a sterile thing or merely an academic matter, but it's actually God's own power going out into the world to rescue it and transform it.
So there's a lot at stake here. If really changes in practice can bring about changes in doctrine, we're really talking about an awful lot at stake.
I believe so. Again, on any given Sunday, some of these things, some of these outward changes might not indicate a deeper change in doctrine, but certainly over time, that does seem to be happening. And yes, there is quite a bit at stake.
Let's diagnose some of the changes that, and then kind of reverse engineer it back to where some of these changes in belief among Christians may in fact have come from in terms of practice on Sunday morning. You talk about God used to be holy. Now, what is he?
Well, seems more often than not, he's something along the lines of our buddy or our friend, our chum, our maybe a type of a mascot even, somebody effectively cheering us on. And I don't want to deny that God is our friend. I mean, Jesus does, in fact, call his disciples friends. But it's also true that he calls us brothers. And even more importantly, he says that God is our Father. And a brother is a different thing from a friend, and a father is different from both of those still.
Our call-in number, as we talk about the relationship of doctrine and practice on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 22nd, with Pastor Daniel Skillman, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Steve is listening in St. Louis. Hi, Steve.
Hey. Two things I've noticed. First of all, in terms of things that people do which are pretty obvious, is many churches have gone to using video, and so they say the most logical place to put a screen is in the front, and many times that will cover the cross. You can't see the cross. The second thing I've noticed is that when you move from a traditional liturgical service, where basically you hear the lesson, the readings of the Bible, you have Bible throughout quotes throughout the Scripture. When you move to a quote contemporary, you tend to throw out the words of the Bibles that we see in our worship. And many times what happens is the reading of the Bible is left to one or two verses that the pastor kind of uses to support his sermon.
Steve, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Let's deal with both of those one at a time, Pastor Skillman. First of all,
sure.
The advent of the big screen up front.
Well, I mean, is there anything wrong with using a big screen? I would say not necessarily, although it can be a little tacky, depending on how your church building looks to begin with. But some of what he described, you know, blocking the cross or blocking the altar, these are the kind of subtle things that over time, I think, reflect a deeper change in doctrine.
Does it also have an affinity for other kind of common cultural experiences, like watching television,
sure.
Going to the
yeah.
movies, going to the sports bar, that are very where we'd want to maintain a distinction with what's happening on Sunday morning?
Yeah, in fact, I do see that. I mean, there should be a distinct difference from going to church on a Sunday and, say, going to your local theater. And when you start to blur those lines, at the very least, it creates confusion in precisely the place where you want clarity.
Steve's other point had to do with the replacement of genuinely biblical songs and canticles in the historic liturgy of the church with other songs. What are your thoughts there?
Well, again, I think those sort of things need to be taken on a case-by-case basis. But to replace God's word with man's word says quite a bit, I think. The songs of the liturgy, the traditional songs, are taken right from Scripture, either direct quotations or paraphrases, and set to music. And those, I think, are safe and sure and true and deliver the goods, so to speak. But when you start to reject those in favor of other things, I just wonder why Christians would want to settle for less than God's own word.
What do you say to someone who says, look, there's certain vocabulary of historic Christianity that was fine and good in its day, like sin and things like that, but it turns people off or it's incomprehensible to people, so we need to come up with different words. With only a minute before our break, what do you say?
I think we need to make a distinction between whether or not it's the words themselves that the words that are troublesome or the concepts. If the words are troublesome, we can find ways in our current language to express those same concepts. But if the concepts are troublesome, how do you change what God himself has said without incurring quite a bit of trouble? That's the 60-second answer.
Well, when we come back from this break, we'll see if there's more. I'm certain there is. Expanding on that 60-second answer. And we'll talk about, in the age of change, when everyone is telling us that the church has to change or die, from the most radical liberals in the church to alleged conservatives, if the church doesn't change, it's going to die. We hear it all the time, the threat of imminent death for the church, or perhaps even worse in the minds of some, irrelevancy, cultural irrelevancy, the church doesn't change. Pastor Skillman is saying we need to resist these changes. We'll let him make the case for that after this. You're always dressed in the latest fashion. Dropping names, it's all a show.
All right, so you missed your congregation's budget deadline, or your congregation turned down your request to join the Issues Etc. 300. Well, there's still a way to add your church to the Issues Etc. 300. Now, anyone who pledges $1,000 to Issues Etc. in the next year will add their congregation to the Issues Etc. 300. We'll promote your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc., and we'll publicize your congregation to the world.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org. Click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click Promote. Find out about the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the changes in practice in the church that have brought with them, perhaps slowly, sometimes not so slowly, genuine changes in what Christians believe, teach, and confess in the doctrine of the church. Our guest, Pastor Daniel Skillman,
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. book of the month for July is called Blessed is the Man. It's a study in the Psalms from a man's perspective. There's a lot there in the Psalms. And of course, the man upon which all of the Psalms and indeed all of the Scriptures focus is ultimately the man Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of God. And you'll find this Christ-centered, cross-focused resource called Blessed is the Man at our website, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org, or browse before you buy at our homepage. You can also inquire about the book from Concordia Publishing House. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. book of the month for July, Blessed is the Man. Okay, we live in an age of change, that's obvious, but the church has adopted this mantra of change as well, Pastor Skillman. You make the case that, for the most part, we should buck the conventional wisdom, and we should resist the popular changes in practice and in doctrine in the church. Make your case, if you would.
Sure. Well, briefly, the changes to which I'm referring are, when you go to services these days, they seem to be very much about being entertained or celebrating our own transformed lives, or receiving further instructions on how to become better people with richer blessings. Those are the changes to which I'm referring. And I think I understand why many congregations make those changes. I think they want to do that in order to make the Word of God more relevant to people. They want to express the gospel in ways that are less offensive and perhaps more believable to modern people. And they want to respond to the things that today's people say that they really need. And I can relate to some of those reasons. They seem quite reasonable, but the thing is, I don't find that they're very biblical. And so the case I would make for resisting those changes is basically threefold. Number one, the Word of God is always relevant, just all by itself. There's no need for us to make it so. And secondly, the gospel is always going to be an offensive thing to the people who don't believe it, that is, to the natural man. The gospel's all about a one-sided divine rescue and something we couldn't do for ourselves or on our own, something we couldn't merit, earn, or deserve, and therefore, there's going to be an offense there. And finally, I don't think that people have ever really understood or known what they truly need, especially when it comes to their relationship with God. I think that giving people what they think they need can actually be quite disastrous. Just think of a doctor who would only give his patient what that patient thinks he needs. No, doctor, I don't need to change my diet. I'll just keep eating the pizza and drinking the beer and having the ice cream for dessert. I don't need the change you suggest. Or, doctor, I don't need that pill. I just need to take it easy. Or doctor, I don't need that surgery. I mean, the patient doesn't really know what he needs. He needs a word from above, in this case, from the doctor. And I'd suggest we don't know what we need. We need a word from above. In this case, God.
How do you respond to someone who says, look, change is bound to come. Everything around us is changing. If the church doesn't, it just simply won't keep up with the real world out there. It'll become an anachronistic, inward-facing, inward-turned institution. And we can change practice without changing doctrine. How do you respond to that basic and popular claim?
Well, I guess, one, I would affirm what is true about that, is that change does come, and that the world is changing. And we experience that in the church, and in many cases that can be a very healthy thing. I'm thinking of the changes that took place, say, around the time of the Reformation, for example. But to say that changes in worship will not affect doctrine is really not to understand the interconnection between the two.
So you point out in your paper that for most of the Christian church, thinking of the broad swath of American Christianity, changes in doctrine were enacted first and then practice followed. But in our own Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, something was quite different for a particular reason, and that is that changes in practice are preceding changes in doctrine. Nonetheless, there are changes in doctrine. What do you mean?
Well, I think it would be awfully difficult, given our historic championing of doctrine, to just come in and say, okay, we're going to change things. For example, we're gonna put the focus on you and what you do and make you the center of the universe. First of all, I don't think there are many of us out there who even think that consciously, and there are even fewer who would actually want that. But it's a whole lot easier to make the mistake, perhaps, of putting us at the center of everything. For example, by turning the worship hour into a time of entertainment or merely a time of instruction, a time where we celebrate the transformation in our own lives. Those things, I think, are rather easy to do, even if unwittingly.
And is there any going back? My sense is that the pace of change has been such in the last 40 years or so that many Christians going to church on Sunday morning are not only not practicing what historic Christianity has practiced, they're not even believing it. And I'm wondering whether there's any turning the clock back.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, no place or time is guaranteed that they will always have God's word in that place and at that time. The promise of Scripture is that His word will never depart the earth. It doesn't mean it won't depart us here in the Missouri Synod, for example. So the question of whether or not we really can turn back, so to speak, I think is an open one. I tend to be fairly optimistic about that possibility. Others might disagree on that, and I think it's fair that they do. So that's not a very direct answer to your question, but it's the best one I can give. I do know that the only way to turn things back is to preach, teach, and live biblically, and that especially of the leaders in our various congregations.
So are you making the case that the church needs to be vigilant not only with regard to the purity of its doctrine, but also with regard to the purity of its practice?
Oh, yes, very much so. It's hard to make a mandate about practices, and I'm not suggesting that we do that, but I do think that it would be wise if we slowed down and looked at what changes in our practice really do indicate about what we believe. And that seems to be the kind of thing that leadership in our church body ought really to be promoting. Let's slow this down. Let's think about this more and not make any hasty changes in our practices.
Pastor Daniel Skillman is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fair Harbor, Ohio, and Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Madison, Ohio. He's author of an article titled Changes in Doctrine and Worship, A Call to Resistance. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks so much for having me.
We know that we have a lot of Issues Etc. fans out there, and we're finding some of them, about 1,200, almost 1,200 of them, latest count, on our Issues Etc. Facebook fan page. Now, if you're not a member of Facebook, it's not hard to join, and it's not really that complicated. The learning curve is a little steep at first, and then it levels out pretty nicely after that. Go to Facebook.com, www.facebook.com, sign up, and then search for the Issues Etc. fan page there. You'll find updates on the show on an almost daily basis. You'll find pictures from here in studio and significant events in the history of Issues Etc., and you'll also be able to connect with other fans of Issues Etc. www.facebook.com. Look for Issues Etc. and find our fan page. Sign up to become a fan there on Facebook. When we come back, the second hour of Issues Etc. is straight ahead. We'll start out remembering Mary Magdalene rightly, not the way that recent fiction and film has encouraged us to remember Mary Magdalene, but the way that Scripture presents her to us. Who is she? Who was she? What did she do in the ministry of Jesus Christ? And why is Dan Brown, when he says things as ridiculous as perhaps consort or wife to our Savior, wrong? Dr. Peter Scarrow will be our guest. We'll talk about Mary Magdalene, and then a little bit later, Christian narcissism. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.